We would like to acknowledge the lands on which we are recording today. Jenna is on the lands of the Darug and Gundungurra peoples, and I am on the lands of the Gambri and Ngunnawal peoples.
As always, it's really important when you're listening to our podcast to keep in mind that Holly and I have a lot of privileges within the sex industry and outside of it as well. And we cannot speak for all sex workers. The sex working community is so diverse and it sits at the margins of so many intersecting marginalized communities. So we can share things from our experience and things we've heard from others. We are relatively well connected with our community, I would say. But at the end of the day, we can't speak for everyone.
Welcome to Somebody You Love, or The Sale of Two Titties. I'm Jenna Love.
And I'm Holly Hart.
And we're experts in disappointing our parents, breaching community guidelines, and banging the people who vote against our rights.
All right, welcome to part two of our Turned On Songs About Sex Work series. It's time to delve into the world of musical theatre. It's a wonderful world and it's a horrifying world. We finished off our last part with songs such as Lady Marmalade, Killer Queen and Roxanne, and they all make for a brilliant segue because they all also feature in musicals. Because jukebox musicals are where the money's at, unfortunately. So I'm going to talk about sex work songs in musicals, and Holly's going to hate every second of it, and that's just going to fuel my fire even more. Now, there are so many. There are so many. Musical writers love writing about sex workers, and actors love playing sex workers. Oh, my God. They love it. I have seen so many actors they just love it. And it's, you know, it's that same shit we talk about all the time, right? Like it's fun and it seems fun and salacious and juicy and they get to be all, impoverished if they're in a musical and, a bit sexy and reclaim their femininity or whatever. Oh, it's gross. But anyway, if you want to see some Madonna whore complex in action, just watch like literally any musical because it's out there. All right, I'm starting with Les Mis, aka Les Miserables, but because I think it's probably one of the most famous ones. There was a movie that came out a few years ago, which I haven't seen. Sorry, I have no interest in watching it. And this one features a fair bit of sex work stuff. So first of all, I've chosen the song I Dreamed a Dream.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving.
So this is sung by the character Fontaine. She is a single mum who gets fired for being a single mum. Obviously, she had sex before marriage, and so then she has to get tuberculosis as punishment, and then she turns to sex work to be able to pay for her daughter. She ends up being sent to jail because she very justifiably lashes out at some guy. Then this total white savior dude kind of saves her by sending her to hospital and looking after her kid. It's very gross. And Fontaine dies, of course, unsurprisingly. So this song is her thinking back about how shit used to be good before she had to be a prosy. Side note, I included the version sung by Patti LuPone because Patti is everything. I do not think that Fontaine is... it's not the kind of role that she's known for these days. And I didn't even realize she had played this. Music theatre nerds are going to kill me for saying that. I didn't even realize. And when I found that option on Spotify, I was like, yes, we're including that one. So I haven't included any lyrics from this one because they're not specifically about sex work. But the whole song is basically just her talking about how good things used to be. And then it gets all dark and moody about how it is now. I think Susan Boyle sang like a famous version of this. It's pretty well known, I think, so a lot of our listeners may have heard this one. Okay, now, The other song I've pulled out from Les Mis is called Lovely Ladies, which sounds nice, doesn't it?
Lovely ladies waiting for a bite, waiting for the customers who only come at night. Lovely ladies ready for the call, standing up or lying down or anywhere at all. Bargain prices up against the wall.
In contrast to this, to the purity of the saintly prostituted woman of Fontaine that we have to feel pity for, we also, of course, have to be introduced to all of the raging sluts, who, of course, don't get a backstory. They're just the slutty break from the depressing show. They are slutty, they are filthy, and that is their entire purpose. And now it's time for me to do a dramatic reading. This is not the whole song, but it is a fair bit, because it is... Oh, it is. This song. Amazing. All right. So first of all, we hear the sailors that are pulling into port. I smell women, smell them in the air, think I'll drop my anchor in that harbour over there. Do you get it? It's a euphemism. Lovely ladies, smell them through the smoke. 7 days at sea can make you hungry for a poke. I don't know why they smell through the smoke. More than anyone else in... ye olde France. Like, surely everyone smells then. I don't know why the prozzies smell so much more.
Maybe they smell like soap. Maybe they're the cleanest there. They've showered 7 times today already.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. They smell like dry skin from showers in between every bloody booking.
Talcum powder or something.
And then we hear the aforementioned strongly smelling women. And they sing, lovely ladies waiting for a bite, waiting for the customers who only come at night. That's a very common misconception, as we've covered on the show. Lovely ladies ready for the call, standing up or lying down or any way at all. Bargain prices up against the wall.
Oh, gosh.
Now, I don't know. Is that because they're not taking up a room?
Possibly.
It's cheaper against the wall?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No.
Okay. Got to look at the economics of this situation.
I'd really like to be horizontal for a discount.
Oh, well, same. I feel like I should charge extra if I've got to be standing
up.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. But real estate is costly, so maybe that's
it's true.
Lovely ladies waiting in the dark, ready for a thick one or a quick one in the park. Long time, short time, any time, my dear. Cost a little extra if you want to take all year. Quick and cheap is underneath the pier. Now, it's going to cost more than a little extra if you want to take all year. That's called an exclusive arrangement, and that's a whole different situation. And quick and cheap underneath the pier? Great. Sounds hot. Sounds like so much UTI. And then the sailors come back with, lovely lady, what you're waiting for? Doesn't take a lot of savvy just to be a whore. Oh. So that's nice. That's another one I might put on a T-shirt. And then to really, really send the song home with a bang, aforementioned Fontaine comes in and says, don't it make a change to have a girl who can't refuse? Easy money lying on a bed. Just as well they never see the hate that's in your head.
Oh, God.
Don't they know they're making love to one already dead?
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. You know, the
it's dark as fuck.
I don't know what the word is. Is it like the cadence? But this is, and even just the filth of it, a lot of this is reminding me of when I had this 84-year-old client who used to come to me with dirty limericks all the time.
And they would also very that.
Yeah, they would always be horrific and incredibly problematic, and he thought they were charming. It's giving that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And so obviously, I mean, you'll hear in the recording, if you have a listen, that all of this is topped off by horrendous music theatre Cockney accents, of course, because the sluts have got to be Cockneys, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. Also, personal anecdote, I once watched a production of Les Mis that was, and like an amateur production, community production.
I'm so sorry.
I know it's not. It is not the show for me, as we've made very clear here. I've got a lot of problems with it. But this production was directed by a guy who's, I think he's Mormon. He's some kind of religious, and he did this scene like non-sexually.
Huh.
Like, he wanted it not to be sexy.
Yeah, that's something.
And I don't, like, these are the most fucking grotesque lyrics. Like, I don't, like, I have a problem with the lyrics, but I think the only thing more offensive than the lyrics would be to play it puritanically while singing these lyrics. Like, what? Okay, let's move on to Miss Saigon. Another one that is not a favourite of mine, 1989 here. So the writers of Les Mis, they also wrote Miss Saigon. It's arguably the more problematic of the two. I could probably do a whole episode on how probo this musical is. And it's wild because it's currently showing in Sydney, which, I mean, it has a very, very problematic history, particularly in terms of casting. And I think a lot of that stuff's somewhat been ironed out now. But anyway, it's probably not my story to tell, because a lot of the problems come from its handling of race. But long story short, a bunch of American Marines are in war-torn Vietnam, and they start paying to have sex with underage victims of sex trafficking. So that's, yeah, that's nice. It's very nice. So this song, The Movie in My Mind, is sung by all of the sex workers / trafficking victims. It's really not made clear.
They swear like men, they screw like boys. I know there's nothing in their hearts. But every time I take one in my arms, it starts. The movie in my mind.
The line is very blurred, so great.
And we know
it is.
We know historically that people make a lot of assumptions about sex workers being trafficking victims, particularly in a racial
100% they do.
Perspective like this. But
yes, yep. So this to me is like Miss Saigon's version of I Dreamed a Dream. In Movie in My Mind, they sing, I will not cry, I will not think. I'll do my dance, I'll make them drink. When I make love, it won't be me. And if they hurt me, I'll just close my eyes. Bleak. Fucking bleak. If those were lyrics that were written by someone who had done sex work or who had been in this particular situation,
yeah,
I'd go, right, if that's your truth.
Sure.
Fine. But of course it wasn't. Of course it wasn't, you know.
A lot of these kinds of narratives, obviously I'm not at all familiar. I have not even heard of this play. I don't know anything about musical theatre. But these sorts of narratives, before I entered sex work, when I was grappling with whether or not it was something I wanted to do or whether I had some sort of problem with me for wanting to be a sex worker, these narratives would impact me. I would hear them and think, oh, maybe you just have to endure this hard work. And it was just the most bizarre thing, because I felt like you had to be play the part of a downtrodden, abused woman to be doing the job. Like, people would say, oh, you just do it for a few months and then you get out because you don't want to have those memories forever or something like that. Never, ever imagining that it would actually be something where, and it, as always we say, it doesn't have to be validating to be, sorry, it doesn't have to be empowering to be valid work. But never imagining that, some people may actually enjoy the work. It may be a mutually enjoyable thing. It might be just mundane even a lot of the time. This whole thing of like, oh, they're going to hurt me and I have to endure. I'm sure it's the case a lot, but God, it's a strong narrative in media, isn't it?
It's strong. And the problem is that whenever I see it represented, it's not been written by sex workers.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? It's just what people
project.
That's
someone's experience, no worries.
Sure.
But this is these are assumptions that are being made.
It's trauma
with really evocative language, and it's absolutely insane to me that you've not heard of Miss Saigon. It's not for me, but it has to be one of the more famous musicals, right? Mm. And so a lot of people are consuming this media. And that's deeply concerning.
Yeah.
So then they have a song called The Transaction. So that's a good start.
Well, no. What I want is that girl in the dress.
Oh, you have a good eye. Her name is Kim. She's my new princess. You give her a try.
It's my friend Chris, who's the one feeling down.
I ordered a beer.
She'll get him up. It's her first night in town. But I have to warn you, she don't come cheap. It's gotta be 20 for my princess. She's sort of a virgin, well, more or less. For 20 more you get a room and key. For 50 bucks she's got the whole night free.
No one gives you a buzz.
So the main, like, character, his name is Chris. He is offered a night with Kim, who is described as a 17-year-old virgin bar girl. So Chris, the guy offered that night, he sings, "This little girl, we could be in the sack for what it costs me to buy a Big Mac." And, like, sometimes just because something rhymes, it doesn't mean it's right. You know? You hear those lyrics, right? And you go, oh, excellent, Chris. Well done. You've used your big brain. No. Nope. He sings that line, compares this 17-year-old girl to buying a Big Mac, and then he goes ahead with it, has sex with her, knocks her up, somehow falls in love, and then is evacuated to America, leaving her to raise their illegitimate son. And, of course, she dies in the end.
Oh, yeah.
Because... she a prozzy.
The hooker's got to die. Yep.
Okay. Moving along to Jekyll and Hyde.
I have heard of this one, by the
way. Oh, you have? Well, I guess it has a... yeah, right. I feel like it's a... the musical itself is not as popular as Miss Saigon, but it has a longer history in terms of literature and stuff. But then Miss Saigon is based on Madame Butterfly, so that also has... they all go back. And Les Mis, of course, is based on a book. So, yep. No original ideas. So Jekyll and Hyde, 1990. I pulled three songs out of this one. No One Knows Who I Am is so bleak.
Look at me and tell me who I am, why I am what I am. Call me a fool and it's true.
So Lucy is a prozzy, and basically she just sings about how, like, no one will care if she lives or dies. Who is she? What is she? Is she? It's great for the stigma. We love that one. Then we have Bring On The Men.
We say bring on the men and let the fun.
Which is actually, like, actually really quite sex positive. A lyric here: I like to have a man for breakfast each day. I'm very social and I like it that way. By late mid-morning, I need something to munch, so I ask over two men for lunch. It's very cute. It's bawdy. It's, you know, it's one of the fun songs in a musical. Again, it's like, oh, here are the slutty whores to do their fun slutty whore song. Everyone tighten your corsets. Like, you know, we've seen it all before. And it does, it feeds into that particular narrative, which is that sex workers are sex addicts who are obsessed with men and that's why they do the job. But for as far as musicals go, it's actually not bad. And there's, a lot of silly lines about, eating men for meals and what, like, it's cute. And then we go to Someone Like You, which is literally a song about a hooker wishing for a man to fall in love with her and rescue her.
But if someone like you found someone like me, then suddenly nothing would ever be the same. If someone like you found me.
If, like, it's supposed to be romantic, it's played out as, like, this big I want, this big dramatic I want ballad.
It's another very strong narrative that we see time and time again in media that is about sex workers, not by sex workers. Mm-hmm. This idea that we're just waiting to be rescued.
Yep. And there's lines like, I haven't written this one down, but is it, I peer through windows, watch life go by. It's very, like, is she trapped in this little brothel room? Is that, like, she has a life outside of the brothel, you know, but.
Oh, no, they don't.
But
come
she doesn't.
On.
No.
All night, all day. That's
all night, all
men.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in case you were wondering, that character, Lucy, she dies. So.
Oh, twist.
Yeah.
Wow.
Shocking, isn't it? Okay, moving on to another musical that was based on an opera. We have Rent. So I've chosen the song Out Tonight.
I've had a knack from way back at breaking the rules once I learned the games. Get up, life's too quick. I know someplace sick where this jiggle dance is play games. We don't need any money. I always get in for free. You can get in too if you get in with me. Let's go.
This song itself is not explicitly about sex work, but the character is a sex worker of color who uses drugs and also suffers from AIDS. So it's nice to have that representation. This was 1994, Rent came out. But the thing that's particularly nice about her portrayal, she's somewhat two-dimensional, but the thing that's really nice about it is that she almost dies at the end, but somehow doesn't. It's a bit magical and strange. It's not, never really explained how she manages to not die. But her counterpart in La Boheme, which is the opera that Rent is based on, does die. So it would have been so easy for them to kill her, and they didn't. So I'm taking that as a win. Okay. I had to include this next one because it is the most, I don't know, unhinged moment of sex worker representation in music theatre, I think. I've chosen I Don't Know How to Love Him from Jesus Christ Superstar. Came out in 1971. I included the Kate Sobrano version on our Spotify list because this weirdly was like on the radio in Australia. Like it went, people were into it. It was real popular. So anyway.
Kate Sobrano is just so fucking cool though. Like
yeah,
I think she could sing Mary Had a Little Lamb and it would slap.
Yeah, right. Mm. Was the lamb's name Jesus? Because Mary did have.
Could be.
Mm. Oh no. Yeah. Different Mary. That's right. Different Mary. Yeah, I often
get your
that
Marys
confused. Well, I
up.
Yeah, for a long time I thought that his mum was also his hooker. And I was like, yeah, that checks out, like very eatable, you know, but it's not that. They're different Marys. I mean, Carl, like it's a fucking boring name. Come up with another name for your story, you know?
Jeez. Sorry to the Marys listening.
Sorry, Marys. Yes. Anyway, let me get back to this. We don't need more of my pathetic knowledge of religion. Okay, so this is probably the most boring song in the show, which is not a surprise that the whore gets the shit song. So it's sung by Mary Magdalene about Jesus. And she's basically like, it's this very, well, it's another romantic ballad, I guess, where he's just like, she's kind of cared for him and he's like fallen to sleep finally. And she's like, I don't know how to love him because he's Jesus, you know, I don't know. But I had to include this just for the line, I've had so many men before in very many ways. And it just is the most jarring fucking line because she's there on stage on her own. Well, Jesus is there. He's asleep, whatever. And she's singing this big like ballad, this love ballad. And then in the middle of nowhere, she's just like, oh, also I've had it up the bum. And you're like, whoa, Mary, like, whoa. We did like, okay, that's like great, babes. But we so didn't ask. It just gets so graphic all of a sudden. And you're like, wow, okay, you've done it. You know, you've done 69s. That's excellent. You've done it up against the wall and under the pier. Like, great, babe. But can we get back to the task at hand? Like, it's just, I don't know. It kills me every time. It kills me. And I freaking love Jesus Christ Superstar. Some of our listeners will know that I have a line from it tattooed on my body. But it's not that line. Maybe I should get that line. It's pretty funny.
I think you should.
I think I should, yeah. Just a thing that says, I've had so many men before in many ways.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. Yeah. That's very funny. Okay. Moving on to, I think I now move on to some better representations, I think. So Sugar Daddy, which I briefly mentioned this in the last episode where we talked about the song Sugar Daddy by Queen Herbie. This is the song called Sugar Daddy from Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which came out in 1998.
Blackstrap molasses, you're my orange blossom, honey bear.
Sugar daddy, sugar daddy.
Bring me Versace blue jeans, black designer underwear.
Sugar daddy, sugar daddy.
We'll dress up like the disco dancing jet set in Milan and Rome. If you got some sugar for me, sugar daddy.
I think this is a really interesting song about a sugar relationship. There are lyrics like, oh, the thrill of control, like the rush of rock and roll, is the sweetest taste I've ever known. Oh, sorry, is the sweetest taste I've known. So it kind of flips the narrative of who has control in this dynamic, right? And I think that's really, in a lot of ways, a more accurate way. Like, I just think that's an interesting thing to explore, right, within transactional relationships, because the dominant kind of narrative, of course, is the person who's paying has the power. And I think, yeah, you know, you and I can attest to that not necessarily being a reflection of reality all of the time. And it certainly feels to me a lot more evenly spread than that. Of course, there's a lot of privilege in saying that. But it really highlights the mutually beneficial nature of these kinds of relationships. The lyric, so you think only a woman can truly love a man. Well, you buy me the dress and I'll be more woman than a man like you can stand.
Oof.
Iconic. Amazing. You what? Okay. You fucking pay for it. I'll do it. Love it. Okay. Moving on to Sweet Charity, which is 1966. First song I pulled out from this is Big Spender.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender, good looking, so refined. Say, wouldn't you like to know what's going on in my mind? So let me get right to the point. I don't pop my cork for every guy I see.
I think a lot of people are familiar with this because, what's her name? Shirley Bassey did this. So it was, you know, on the radio and all that. It's pretty straightforward. There aren't that many lyrics. It's like, hey, big spender, come spend some time with me. It's great. Look, spend, using it in different ways. Fabulous. But also, like, I don't know, it's a very overplayed song. Also, this is one of the songs, as I was putting this together, that I was like, okay, but how come I performed so many of these songs as a dance student, as a kid? What the fuck? Like, and again, as we discussed in the last episode, I had no idea what any of the lyrics meant, but we were acting out these things. Like, what? And people think we're the ones damaging children. Like, Jesus. yeah, so it's a real... I don't know. Whenever this song comes on, I'm like, oh, it's so naff. It's so overplayed. But it does capture that thing for me, which I think a lot of sex workers are familiar with. When you meet a new client or fan or whatever it is in whatever kind of sex work you're doing, and you go, I think this is going to be a good one. Like, this one's got some cash to spend and they want to spend it. And you sort of, you know, you're not going to, with that information in your brain, it's not that you're going to do anything different necessarily, but you just sort of go, I'm really not going to fuck this one up. So then the other song from Sweet Charity I pulled out is There's Gotta Be Something Better Than This.
There's gotta be some respectable trade. There's gotta be something easy to learn. And if I find me something I have we can learn, I'm gonna get up, I'm gonna get out, I'm gonna get up, get out and learn it.
Which sounds not great in the title, right? There are some problematic lines in it. Again, we're talking 1966. One of the lines, there's got to be some life cleaner than this. Obviously, cleanliness is not something we need to, that's not the problem. But for the most part, I think it's not the worst portrayal. There are a lot of sex workers are wanting to move into other lines of work, and it can be difficult to do so for a whole lot of reasons. And they kind of talk about that and they make fun with it. And they're sort of like, you know, oh, yeah, what skills have you actually got? You know, and which it feels like a group of workers sitting around in the back room at a brothel. Like it feels genuine in a lot of ways. Also, it's upbeat and fun. And it's not just sex workers crying about how sad life is. So I like it for that reason. The final song I am going to bring into this is a song from Cabaret, which is also 1966. And look, there's a lot of songs in Cabaret about sex work, but the song I chose is Don't Tell Mama.
I'm breaking every promise that I gave her, so won't you kindly do a girl a great big favor, and please, my sweet potato, keep this from the mater, though my dance is not against the law. You can tell my papa, that's all right, 'cause he comes in here every night. But don't tell mama what you saw.
My notes say iconic, beautiful, excellent, yes please, no notes. I'm a big fan of Cabaret, if you hadn't noticed. And the fact that it was written in 1966 and I think it's one of the better portrayals of sex work is really, really wild. So the lyrics from this one, Mama thinks I'm living in a convent, a secluded little convent in the southern part of France. Mama doesn't even have an inkling that I'm working in a nightclub in a pair of lacy pants. So please, sir, if you run into my mama, don't reveal my indiscretion. Give a working girl a chance. And yeah. I love it. I think it's fabulous. So I am no musical theatre expert.
What?
And there's a bunch of other shows that I'm not familiar with that I wanted to just briefly mention. As I said, there's so much in the music theatre world that references sex work because they're obsessed with it. And to be fair, like I think at the beginning of this episode, I was pretty harsh on musical theatre people for being so obsessed with sex work. But I also think there's a good reason for it. Historically, performers and sex workers, there was a lot of crossover. And, you know, I say historically, but I think I'm now at 4 members of my drama class that are working in the sex industry in Australia. And drama class, like of my uni, my theatre degree, which drama classes are quite small. So, you know, historically they were linked. I think maybe they're still quite linked. You know, there's a lot of these connections, like playing a character, putting on your costume, all of that sort of stuff.
Mattress actress,
exactly. Of course, there's crossovers with making porn and making movies. And back in the day, well, when women were allowed to act in Western society, it was obviously there's been times when they weren't allowed, but when they were put in the same bucket as prostitutes. It was considered prostituting yourself. And so, you know, I think I think it's somewhat understandable that there is so much portrayal of sex work in musicals. That doesn't mean I think any of it or most of it is any good at all and certainly not helpful to our cause. But yeah, and the other thing is there's also a lot of whorephobia in the theatre world, which I think, again, comes about because of that historical connection, because there's so many people trying to distance themselves from that. And it's similar with dancing, any kind of performing arts, there's crossover because there's an argument to be made that they are all types of performance. So like my experience when I was working in the theatre world was that it was very whorephobic. And that's a real shame because I think there could be a real opportunity for solidarity there. I think that the performing arts suffers a lot of similar stigma to sex work. And generally people in the performing arts tend to be compassionate people, empathetic people, often people who believe in human rights and stuff like that. So it's kind of a surprise. But as I said, I think the issue with the whorephobia in that industry comes from the historical closeness of the two industries. But I'd love to see that gone. Anyway, so I just mentioned some other shows I'm not familiar with. If you're interested in this, you might want to check them out. Or if you've just been sitting here waiting for me to say the name of your favorite show, then it may come out now. So we have Irma LaDuce in 1956. I don't know this at all, but I should know it. I think it comes up all the time. Yeah, I should probably get on that. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, 1978. Now, I am going to watch this soon. Holly is a big fan of this movie. I have stayed away from the movie and any productions of the musical because I was like, oh my God, a musical with whore in the title? Like, that will obviously be my absolute worst nightmare. But Holly is quite a fan, and so I'm actually going to check it out. And maybe it's not going to be as horrendous. Maybe we'll see. I mean, I don't know.
Keeping in mind, I generally hate musicals, and the ones that I do like, I think you find quite naff. So,
yeah. True.
Could be a worry.
I mean, I think my reason for always having avoided it was that I assumed it would be the worst portrayal of sex work.
Yeah.
Not, if the musical's not amazing, that's fine. But if, yeah. There's a show called The Life from 1990, which a friend of mine suggested when I said I was doing this episode. You can't find too much about it. There's some audio clips and stuff on YouTube. It's about the underbelly of Times Square. And so it's about drug use, it's about sex work, it's about homelessness, etc. And from what I could tell, there's some good and some bad representing in it. The next one is called Soho Cinders. I'm not familiar with this at all. It was 2012. It was first produced. I think that's usually the kind of date I go with for theatre things. I'll read the synopsis for you. Soho Cinders is loosely based on the story of Cinderella. It is a modern musical fable that is set and celebrates the London district of Soho, which mixes politics, sex scandals, and true love in a story about an impoverished student, Robbie, who is paying for his college bills in a somewhat unorthodox way. Oh, becoming romantically involved with the engaged prospective mayoral candidate, James Prince. James and Robbie's worlds collide, forcing them to fight for their own fairy tale ending in this hilarious satirical twist on the classic Cinderella story. I don't know. Sounds average to me, but you know, I don't know it. Yeah. Sex Workers Opera. This sounds awesome. I think it was first put on in 2014. It's been mounted a few times. It was written by sex workers, or at least there were sex workers as a part of the team writing. It may not have been all sex workers. There's a long history of different marginalized people's operas. Like there's the Beggar's Opera, the Convict's Opera. Like that's kind of an established thing. And the Sex Workers Opera sounds really great. And I would love an opportunity to see it if it's mounted at some point somewhere near me.
Pretty like Woman. To be mounted somewhere near you.
Yes, so. Of course you would. Pretty Woman, the musical, debuted in 2018. I don't know anything about it. Moulin Rouge, the musical, debuted in 2018. I don't know anything about that either, because it was recently in Australia. Actually, I think it's in Melbourne now, but I really am not interested in seeing it. And then my favourite one, I only just discovered, is called The Prince and the Prostitute, the Australian Colonial Musical.
So many red flags.
First put on in 2022, and yes, isn't that the red flaggiest title that you've ever heard? Oh my God. The Prince and the Prostitute, the Australian colonial musical. Like, I'm so sorry to whoever wrote that. Maybe it was, like, maybe it's beautiful, but you have fucked it so royally with that title. Yeah.
Well, thanks for that, Jenna. Quite an education for me, for sure. I probably will never watch any of those shows. But, yeah, I have no idea anything musical theatre related, so it was quite eye-opening indeed.
Did you listen to any of the songs?
No, absolutely not. I don't want to find an aneurysm.
I listened to your shit.
Yeah, well, so I can't. I cannot. It causes me physical pain to do musical stuff.
Like, I listened to that Ed Sheeran song that was like two notes for 3 minutes.
You absolutely should not have. It's terrible. I didn't even listen to it. I think the last time I listened to it was in 2011 when it was released. So... apologies. I did go and read all the lyrics. Oh, well, hang on. No, that's for my section. I didn't read the lyrics from the musical stuff. It's the, you know, the, yeah, musicals, burlesque, slam poetry, my most hated forms of performance. So sorry if you do any of those things and you're listening and you want to cancel me now. But the history of it is all super fascinating, and I appreciate your educating us all and your wealth of knowledge around it all. You say you're not an expert, but I feel like you're just an expert on everything. You're a pretty, well, you did some research as well.
When I started talking about historical stuff, I was like, if I'd known I was going to chat about this, I really should have done a bit of research to get my facts right. But oh well, I was talking.
You know
out
more
my
than
ass.
Most. So
perhaps.
Thanks for joining us for this exploration of music, sex workers represented musically. We hope that you have enjoyed it and that you maybe find a new passion, whether that be in 70s and 80s hits about sex workers, or you take up being an actor and a whore. Who knows? This could be a revelation for you.
It's time for us to thank our extraordinary patrons. We have a new, very generous somebody, and that is Emmeline.
Our even more generous somebodies, Alex, Dave, the Ashley Stafford, the Rhiannon Rhodes, Nomad, Adele, Andrew, our secret admirer, our footstool, Lachlan, Leslie, Sub London, Mr. E, NK, the Ophelia Parker, Scott C., Simon, Steve, Timmy, Wheezy,
Luke, Frankie, Is Lost in Thoughts, Cuddle Koala, The Sasha Sins, and Stanley Doolittle. And our extremely generous somebodies are Aaron, Andrew, Adam Smith, Pete, The Sienna Saint, Adam Moore, and Tim. Thanks so much for tuning in. I'm sure in the next episode I will go on less rants about musical theatre, but probably will still be ranting about something. Bye.
Bye.
Please look out for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Patreon. Our name everywhere is Somebody You Pod, as in podcast. Our Patreon starts at just $3 a month, and you can get all of our episodes ad-free and a day early, plus bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes action, bloopers, and more. Thank you for taking the time to listen to the voices of sex workers. And remember, somebody you love might just be a sex worker.